All right, Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 9. And we're going to read down through verse number 14. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Tonight I want to talk about these three words. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you tonight that we can be here, be a part of this service. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts through the message. And again, may we concentrate for a few moments on this truth. I realize, Lord, we have other things we're doing this evening, but may we give the Bible its rightful place tonight, and may we gain something from the Bible that would be helpful to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Nothing is impossible. Sarah was 90 years old. That's getting up there. Abraham was 100 years old. So he's even further along in life. Of course, those are just the right ages to be bringing a new baby into the world now, aren't they? Anybody want to sign up? I realize they lived different ages then, but I don't care what age and what time it is. 90 years of life and 100 years of life. I don't think I'd want to have Junior running around my tent at 90 and 100. Not really the best timing either, is it, to be bringing a new child into the world? Surely these two, and I give them this term, mature adults. I think that's a nicer way to say it now, isn't it? You could say other words, but I like the word mature. I think that's so much nicer to say about people in their senior years. And that's why I'm doing that, because I hope someday somebody will treat me like that and call me mature and not all the other adjectives that people give one another that are extended in years. I almost said one of them. And so these two mature adults, surely these two mature adults cannot bring a child into their family. It seems literally impossible. You know the end of the story, but we'll come to the end of the story in just a moment. If you have your Bible open still, would you turn to Jeremiah chapter 32? Jeremiah chapter 32. We'll get back to Genesis in just a few minutes. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 1. Jeremiah 32, verse number 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. For then the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. For Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, Wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And would you skip up to verse number 8? So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, Buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. For the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, 17 shekels of silver. And if you would skip down now to verse number 13. And I charged Barak before them, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, of the God of Israel, take these evidences, this evidence of the purchase, both which is sealed, and this evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Then verse 16, Jeremiah begins to pray. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. What a great verse that is. There is nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah, if you followed along and listened, Jeremiah was not in a very good situation. Jeremiah was in prison. And here he is telling these people, he's prophesying, saying that the land is going to be given back to Judah. Babylon, he prophesied that Babylon would come and they would overtake the land. They would overtake Jerusalem. Surely this would mean the end for the Jewish people. Surely this would mean the end of Israel. Surely this would mean the end of this powerful nation. That's what you would think. However, Jeremiah, we didn't read the whole passage, but Jeremiah followed God's word and he bought a field from his cousin. When he bought this field, this was a symbol or a sign that someday the Jews would return to Babylon and they would get the land back that was rightfully theirs. And that's why he bought this chunk of land and he said, and he predicted that that's what was going to take place. And sure enough, there comes his cousin. And there he says, here, I want you to buy this field. And he buys this field and he returns back word to the king. And he says, look, here's the proof. Here's the evidence. The Bible says that God is real and that God is still alive. And then Jeremiah goes to his knees. He prays. And he says, nothing is too hard for thee. Nothing is too hard for thee. Sounds a little bit familiar from what God said to Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse number 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I tell you what, we need to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, bless this introduction and bless the remainder of this message now, Lord. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I love that statement, and I want us to have in our minds for a few moments that statement, nothing is impossible. Would you mind saying that with me, class? Ready? Nothing is impossible. It doesn't matter what it is tonight. It doesn't matter if it's a 100-year-old and a 90-year-old couple. Now, I hope we don't have anybody wanting to volunteer to try to do that again. But the Bible gives us great proof here that nothing is impossible. We see it over and over again in Scripture. Mighty things taking place. We see in Nineveh when God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and Jonah thought, where? You want me to go where? Would you please repeat that, God? My hearing is a little bad. Would you please talk in my other ear? My other ear is better. This ear is not very good. And God said it again. I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah knew a little bit about Nineveh. Jonah knew that in Nineveh, they didn't really care too much for preachers. Jonah knew that in Nineveh, they didn't have a very good track record on people coming in and trying to tell them how bad they were and trying to tell them that they need to repent of their sin and trying to tell them they need to get right with God. He kind of heard a little bit from, you know, word of mouth that wasn't the place that you should go and start a Baptist church or start a church that preaches the gospel. He kind of heard that. God said, go to Nineveh. Of course, you know what happened to good old Jonah. He thought he knew better than God, and he went the opposite direction and ended up in the belly's whale. And belly's whale? Say, I was just seeing if you're awake. Whale's belly? Man, I tell you, when you get to be 30 someday, I have no excuse. Nothing is impossible. I will be able to speak right. When he, you know, I've done that the last, I don't know, something's going on in my brain maybe. I may go get a CAT scan and see if there is anything there. I hope there's something up there. I've been doing that at home too, so I don't know. That's not a good sign. But the bellies, the fish's belly, there we go. Boy, I tell you. Now I'm thinking that's when you really get in trouble. Yeah, anyway, he went inside a fish, right? That's right. 3 days and three nights, and I guess he figured out Nineveh might be a little bit better than the stuff that whale was bringing into its stomach, you think? Actually, he prayed and got right with God while he was in there. You say, well, how? Good night, Pastor Turner. A fish swallow a human being? Yeah, that's what the Bible said. So I go with the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God. That's, again, as I've said in our church before, that's kind of one I'd like to see on instant replay someday. You know, I hope we have those on tape. And, of course, Jonah might not want that, so I don't want my life shown on tape either, so I don't think I'll ask God that. But Jonah ended up on the coast thanks to that whale's upset stomach. And Jonah went down to Nineveh. And Jonah did right, and he preached the gospel. And what happened? The Bible says the whole city got right with God. Nothing is impossible. Let me give you a couple of observations tonight. Number one is this: there is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Listen to that. There is no promise. This morning we talked about standing on the promises, and that was kind of neat. I will do that again another time. And after each time we sang a verse of standing on the promises, most all of you are here, we had people shout out a promise of God from the Bible. And let me tell you tonight that there is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. The Bible says this in Numbers chapter 23, verse number 19. I love the way it's worded. God is not a man that he should lie. God is not a man that he should lie. He keeps every promise. The promises, I wrote this down, and I'm not a genius, but I wrote this down because it helped me. The promises might not have been said directly to me. I wasn't around when God gave the Bible. I didn't hear them directly. They might not have been given directly to me, but they were all given for me. Everybody here can say that too tonight. Those promises that we read about in the Bible, maybe they weren't given directly to you because none of us were around when they were given the first time, but they were all given for you. There is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Would you mind turning in Titus? Titus in the New Testament. I want to show you this little verse in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 2. There is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. I can get there myself. The Bible says there, in hope of eternal life. I read this verse at the mission on Friday night. So true. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie. God cannot lie. But let's read the rest of the verse. Promised before the world began. God promised eternal life before the world began. There is no promise tonight too hard for God to fulfill. This means, as the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can say that tonight too. Why? There's no promise too hard for God to fulfill. You know what God says? I'll meet your needs. There's no promise too hard for God to fulfill. I'll give you eternal life. There's no promise too hard for God to fulfill. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There is no promise too hard for God to fulfill. Nothing is impossible. How about this? There is no prayer too hard for God to answer. Oh, I think we've all thought that eventually, or even maybe right now, maybe you're praying one that you think will never be answered. We see, sometimes we want to see the specific answer for that prayer, but maybe God has a different answer for that prayer. So therefore, tonight I can say that there is no promise too hard that God cannot fulfill, and there is no prayer too hard that God cannot answer. When God is going to do something wonderful, he starts with a difficulty. When God is going to do something very wonderful and miraculous, he starts with an impossibility. You hear that? When God is going to do something, he starts with a difficulty. When God is going to do something very wonderful and miraculous, he starts with an impossibility. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty. Those two words are very important. Great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. God is not limited. You realize that? We have put limits on God. I heard a preacher say, my God is so big that the world is in the palm of his hand. And the God that I pray to is not somebody that's the size of one of you or me. And what I mean by size, I mean by power and by strength and by ability. Let's not put God in a human state. God is not a human being. He's God Almighty, and there is no promise too hard that he cannot fulfill. There is no prayer too hard that he cannot answer. Whatever the problem, whatever the prayer, whatever the promise may be, he's not limited. Let's not limit him. A building for Anchor Baptist Church? He's not limited. He owns the cattle on a thousand. We were listening to a little kid's CD on the way to church tonight, Patch the Pirate CD. And great little CDs, great little kids' stories. And the little song they were singing in there, they asked the missionary, they asked the man that they were talking to, his little story. And he said, well, how do you pay your bills then? And he said, well, my father pays my bills. And they said, he said, anytime I need something, I go to my father, and my father pays. And the little kids said, wow, your father must be rich. He must have lots of money. And the man that was telling the story came on, and he said, well, boys and girls, I don't think that he was referring to someone here. I think he might have been referring to God. I think he might have been referring to the Lord, because he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the wealth in every mine. You see, nothing is impossible. No promise too hard he won't fulfill. No prayer request too hard that he won't answer. Number three, there's no problem too hard for God to solve. There's no problem too hard for God to solve. Psalms 37, verse number 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Commit thy way. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we need to commit our way. Look, we need to say nothing is impossible. Maybe it's a prayer request. Maybe it's a promise. Maybe it's a problem in your life. Maybe it's something in your family's life. Maybe it's something with at work. Maybe it's something, I don't know what it might be, but there's no problem too hard for God to solve. We may be in a situation right now that we think God cannot, but God can. You know, when I was growing up, I told you a little bit about growing up this morning, but I have to say it again. My dad, if we said, I can't, oh my, you know, sirens went off, you know, bells and whistles, flags were waving. What do you mean you can't? Sure you can. Well, I can't write my seat work homework, Dad. My fingers hurt. Okay. See, I told you earlier that I'm getting flashbacks from things. Well, I'm getting flashbacks from all those ones I tried on my dad 30 years ago, or 25 years ago. And boy, it does. Your sin will find you out one way or another. You know, my dog ate it. We don't even have a dog, you know. The goldfish got out and, you know, it splashed water on it and I couldn't turn my homework in, you know. There's no problem too hard God cannot solve tonight. It doesn't matter what it is. Nothing is impossible. We have a possibility of something I'll share with you during our business meeting in a few minutes, during our meeting in a few minutes, but it could be something just unbelievable. I don't know what God has in store, but nothing's impossible. No prayer too hard and too big that he cannot answer it. No promise too big that he cannot fulfill it. No problem too big that he cannot solve it. And let me give you number four. There's no person too hard for God to save. There's no person too hard for God to save. I thought about the man in Mark chapter 2. Remember that story? There was a man that could not walk. Palsied man, the Bible calls him. And some friends of his, they got the idea that they needed to get him to Jesus Christ. And it was a very difficult situation because he couldn't walk. And of course, they didn't have mass transit like we do today. And they didn't have all the abilities of different ways and different. They didn't have the internet and radio and all TV and all the rest of it to get him the gospel, you know, get him to Jesus. They just had to get him there. And the Bible says that they got him to this house. And much like any other time when Jesus was around, it was jam-packed, standing room only. And there was no way into the house. So many people. I mean, there was people already just peering through the windows, you know, trying to get a good eye and see what was going to happen and watch him. He had healed people, and he was a, you know, great man to watch and listen to. And so, of course, the fame had spread, and they were all there. And you know the story, how they got the great idea. They said, well, we want to get him to Jesus some way. So let's go up on top of the roof. They went up on top of the roof, and what seemed to be impossible, they cut a hole in the roof, Bible says, and they lowered this man down to where Jesus was. I'm sure some of the people wondered or looked around and thought, what are you all doing? What are you trying to prove? I'm sure some of them looked around and looked. I'm sure some of them said, this isn't going to work. Are you crazy? I'm sure you've heard that in the business field too. This will never work. You know, what are you trying this idea for? It'll never happen. I'm sure some of them said, it can't be done. There's no way you're going to go. You're going to fall through. You're going to break your neck. What are you trying to do? And yet they were determined to get this man to Jesus. They went ahead, made the hole, and they lowered him down. And of course, Jesus healed the man. And he got up and he walked out. These men of great faith, these men of whatever you want to call them, I don't know if they had great faith or what they had, but they were determined. They weren't going to let a house full of people surrounding Jesus get in the way. They were going to climb up on the roof and get him down one way or another. I wonder if they wouldn't have been able to do that. Maybe they would have dug a trench under the thing, but that would have taken a long time. Probably good that they went on top, right? You know what I'm trying to say? There is no problem too hard that cannot be solved. There's no person too hard that God cannot save. We're a lighthouse here at Anchor Baptist Church. We desire for men and women and boys and girls to see the light of Jesus Christ so they can be saved and have eternal life in heaven. We know that salvation is not through good works. We know that salvation is not through church membership. We know that salvation is not through being a good person. We know that salvation is through Jesus Christ. And tonight I want you to know that there's no person too hard that God cannot save. You have a family member tonight that maybe you know right now that wherever they're at, with another in British Columbia, maybe they're in another part of Western Canada, maybe they're in Ontario, maybe they're in Montreal, in Quebec, and maybe they're out east, maybe they're in the States, maybe they're in a foreign land. It matters not. And you think they'll never, ever get saved. There's no one too hard that God cannot save. Do you realize tonight? Or I know you realize this, and this is what we have to realize. You and I cannot save them. You know, there's people in my life right now that I would love to just take them, family members, some of them, and grab them by the neck, and make them bow, and make them pray, and get saved. I wish I could do that. That's not how it works. You know? I wish I could, but I can't. But I do know somebody who can. That's Jesus Christ. What's that little song in our hymn book? Bring them in. Bring them in. We pray them in. We bring them in. Whether it's a family member or whether it's somebody in this area. I thank God for what he's done in our church in these two and a half plus years now. I thank God for what he's done. I want us to know tonight, though, and reset the button and remember those three words. Nothing is impossible. Don't stop praying for that prayer request that you've been praying for 5 years and nothing's happened. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for that family member you've prayed for 20 years to be saved. Don't stop praying. Keep praying. There's no promise too hard that God cannot fulfill. There's no prayer too hard that God will not answer. Keep praying. Stay at it. I've told you this story before. One of my elementary teachers back in the Christian school that I went to in the States when I was growing up, her name was Miss Thomas. She was in her late 30s, early 40s at that time, never married. And when I first went to school there, I was in grade 5. I would say the first day, if not right around the first week, when we had prayer request time, Miss Thomas asked prayer for her dad who was not saved. All the time. Pray for my dad, Mr. Thomas, he's not saved. Pray for my dad, Mr. Thomas, he's not saved. The way our Christian school was set up, it was small, so I had the same teacher for 2 years. So grade 5 and grade 6, I had the same teacher. And I have to think that every week of the world for 2 years, we prayed for Mr. Thomas to get saved. Every week. You know, I in my little bit of faith that I had then, I really wondered if God would ever save Mr. Thomas. I mean, I'm grade 5 and grade 6, and I'm thinking, boy, this guy, he must be a hard nut to crack, because if Miss Thomas is 40 and her dad must be, you know, getting up there, you know, he's mature, you know, and boy, well, God, and Miss Thomas, I don't know if inside she was scared that he wouldn't or what, but every week, every time we had prayer time, would you pray for my dad to be saved? He never came to our church. Our church ran the school. He never came to our church that I know of, up until that point anyway. The day came, however, when the pastor went out to see him. He had seen pastors before. He had seen this pastor before, and nothing had happened. But I don't know. I don't remember all the story. I just remember that there was one particular day that he went out, and Mr. Thomas welcomed him in and was gloriously saved and asked Jesus Christ to be his Savior. Within a month, Mr. Thomas, within a month or two, Mr. Thomas was dead. There's no person too hard that God cannot save. I think that's so important to hold to that. Never give up. Keep praying. I ended with that point because I think it's the most important one of the message. Nothing is impossible. No one. You know, God loved us. God loves us so much. Each of you tonight have a salvation testimony. I wish I had time, but I don't have time to hear all of them. But I've heard most of them myself already, of how you got saved. And some of you here tonight, 10 years ago, I say this not, and I'm not going to say any names, but 10 years ago, and it's not to embarrass anybody, but 10 years ago, you wouldn't have been caught dead in a church on Sunday night. Think about it. Yet God saves you. And God brought you to this point right here. And no one is more important to God. No one is higher or lower. We're all on the same level. The point is tonight that God saved you and God saved me. How dare us say that God cannot save our family member? We have limited God. Let's not limit God. Let's let God have the strength that I've sang in here before. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. The mountains are his. The valleys are his. The skies are his handiwork too. My God is so big. I have big dreams for our church. I have big goals for our church. But like I said this morning, my desires must be God's desires, you see. What does God desire? God desires for people to get saved. God desires for men and women, boys and girls, to hear nothing is impossible. Go out and do whatever God calls you to do. Go out and do it with God's strength. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for your love for us. I thank you tonight for the promises you give us in the Word of God. I thank you tonight that you never fail us. I thank you that, Lord, the prayer requests that we ask aren't too big for you to answer. I thank you tonight that even the problems we face aren't too big for you to solve. Lord, I thank you tonight. There's no person in our life that's not too hard that you cannot save them. Lord, tonight may we remember some people in our lives that we need to pray for, that need to be saved, that need Jesus Christ, that need to experience the peace that Jesus can only give. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Tonight we'll have a brief invitation as we always do. What about it tonight? Is there someone in your life that you think God can never save them? I have an uncle and an aunt tonight that are not saved. They live in Ohio and they're good people. They're hardworking people. They've never been active in church, and I pray for them all the time. And sometimes I begin to wonder, will my uncle Jerry ever be saved? Will my uncle Jerry ever come to know Jesus Christ as his Savior? Many of you have an uncle. Many of you have a dad. Many of you have a mom. They need to be saved. What about it tonight? Can you say tonight that this week you faithfully prayed for your unsaved family members? Hey, look, nothing's impossible. Let's bring our request to God. There's no prayer request too big that God cannot answer it. Let's not limit God. Let's not limit God. God's a big God. He can meet the need, whatever it is. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. I'm going to let the music play for a few more minutes. Maybe tonight you need to step out of that seat and come down and have a seat in the front row. And you need to do business with God tonight. And you need to say, dear God, I want you to know tonight that I'm claiming this. I've already claimed it before, but I want to claim it again. I realize tonight, God, nothing is impossible. Oh, some things seem out of reach, God, but I'm going to put my faith tonight in the fact that there's no prayer too hard you won't answer. No promise too big you can't fulfill. Nothing is impossible. What about it tonight? Maybe you're not sure you're on your way to heaven tonight. It's an interesting question. Are you 100% sure if you died today that you'd go to heaven? Nothing in this world matters than what. The only thing that matters is what we do with Jesus Christ. We won't take anything with us. I won't take any of this nice equipment with me to heaven, and neither will you. If you're not sure of heaven, I can take you through the Bible and show you what Jesus says about it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. A couple more verses. The service will be over. this part? What about it? God laid someone on your heart tonight? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for meeting our needs. We thank you again for meeting with us during this service. Lord, I do pray that we will be determined. There's nothing impossible as we go through this life. Lord, I pray that you'll work in our hearts and in our lives tonight. I pray that, Lord, those of us that have family and friends that need to be saved, I pray that before we fall asleep later this evening, would we pray for them? Will we ask you again to send somebody by with a gospel tract or with a John and Romans or somebody by to invite them to church where they can hear the gospel and be saved. Lord, we claim your promises tonight in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen.